When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
Hello and welcome to The Corridor here on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario, and podcasting on Spotify and Apple Music. I'm Dinah Jansen, and with me is CFRC Local Journalism Initiative news producer Jesse Bell. This regional news program features news from Kingston and area provided by local and regional journalists through the support of the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Welcome and enjoy. Hello and welcome to The Corridor, brought to you by Realtor Kim Purcell of Sutton Group Masters Realty. Connect with Kim today to find a new home tomorrow via kimpurcell.ca. I'm Dinah Jansen, and with me is CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative producer Jesse Bell. Our first story is from CFRC's Local Journalism Initiative reporter Christina Laurie, covering the return of Winterfest in Kingston.
Hello, I'm Christina Laurie, Local Journalism Initiative reporter for CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, Ontario. Coming up are some of the top news stories in Kingston and the Islands. You can listen to CFRC's news programs Today in YGK and Kingston Currents on Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or subscribe to our podcasts on Spotify and Apple Music. If you have any Kingston news tips you'd like to share, you can reach me at news@cfrc.ca.
Starting February 1st, Spirit of Winter is taking over Springer Market Square with illuminated forest trails, skating, fire pits, and a brand new snow dome village offering cozy, heated spaces and treats from local businesses. This marks the second festival after a magical launch last year, bringing people together in the heart of the city during the winter months. Downtown Kingston events manager Sandy Griffiths sat down with CFRC to share more about this year's event. Last year's launch was truly magical. What did you take away from that first year, and what was the thought process going into planning this year?
Yes, so Spirit of Winter is going to look a little different this year. But I think what we learned from last year is that people really are looking for things to do in the winter. People want to get out. They want to spend time with friends and family. And so we're giving them a great reason to do that. Last year, Spirit of Winter really revolved around the projected animation that we were able to do because of a grant. This year, not having that grant, we've sort of pivoted a little, but what remains is a really fun opportunity to get outside and enjoy winter and all that winter has to offer. It's not going anywhere anytime soon, so we might as well get outside and celebrate it.
Mm-hmm. And there's a long list of activities on the docket there. What's new this year and what can folks expect?
Yes, we have lots of fun things for folks to do. Our s'mores pop-ups were the star of the show last year, which was a little bit surprising, but so much fun. So people will still have an opportunity to hang out around a wood-burning fireplace. We'll have s'mores pop-ups. Of course, there's the skating, and we offer skate rentals for those of you who don't have skates at your disposal. Our Enchanted Forest is back again this year, and we were able to add a few fun elements to it. So, we have little surprises all through the forest, which are really fun to discover. And then new this year, we have our Snow Dome Village. So in the amphitheater of City Hall, which is sort of that area around the Market Street side of City Hall where you go down the steps, we've built what we're calling a snow dome village. So we have three beautiful domes that are heated. And essentially what you can do is book a time with friends and family. It's a 60-minute time window where you can enjoy the dome. We have food add-ons, so you can have yummy treats and hot drinks from some of our local restaurants. There's a heater in there, Bluetooth speaker, blankets, pillows, card games. So it's really just a nice opportunity and sort of a unique experience in the winter.
Awesome. And I was going to mention, within that Snow Dome Village, we also have an art installation, kind of keeping up that tradition from last year. I was wondering if you could share a little bit about that.
Yes, so we have two fun art installations this year. Back in 2023, we did an event called Wawa Tag, working with our friends in the Indigenous community, and we had a number of icebergs in the fountain in Confederation Park, and they were lit to sort of mimic the Northern Lights. Some of those icebergs, you'll find them in Snowdome Village, so we're bringing them back. And what we're also doing is we're giving people an opportunity who are either enjoying one of the snow domes or just wandering through the forest to hear again, or possibly for the first time, those Indigenous stories that were part of Wawa Tag. So there'll be QR codes all over you can scan. And we have a number of Indigenous stories told by Indigenous storytellers, which I think just brings a nice element to the festival. And then our friends at KCFF, so the Kingston Canadian Film Festival, and their mascot for this year is Conrad the Raccoon. And Conrad is very adorable. He is an almost 14-foot raccoon, and we're so happy that he's visiting the Enchanted Forest throughout Spirit of Winter. So you'll see Conrad on all of the marketing materials for this year's film festival, but Conrad will be live on location in the square throughout February. And again, we're so thrilled that we have such a wonderful relationship with KCFF, as well as Raw Design, who initially designed Conrad. But he's a treat to see. I think he'll be a fun selfie station for sure.
Awesome. And how can folks enjoy Spirit of Winter, secure their spot in Snowdome Village, all that good stuff?
Yes. So for all of the information on Spirit of Winter Enchanted, everyone can visit downtownkingston.ca, and that is really a great resource for everything to do with the festival, from the times for the s'mores pop-ups, for skate rental times and rates. And if you're interested in booking one of the snow domes, you can do that right on the site as well. Like I said, there are food add-ons, and we're really excited about that experience this year. And some of the feedback that we're getting is really positive already. So I think it's just a fun way for people to get out of their house in February and enjoy all the good things about winter.
Awesome. And I was going to ask a little bit about that behind the scenes. You're in the midst of setup right now. How's it going? And what are you hearing from people as they're kind of walking by and seeing it all get put together?
Yes. Yeah, so we started the setup on Monday. The snow domes sort of went in first, and then we started on the Enchanted Forest, which is all set up along Market Street. Of course, we get people who walk through all the time, and they're super excited. A lot of people who remember it from last year who were like, yay, I'm so glad this is back. It really does turn Market Street into a sort of magical place. But yeah, lots of curiosity about the snow domes, and definitely excitement that the forest is back. I'm going to head back there now, and we'll see what's happening, what people think of Conrad. Everything launches everything launches February 1st, which is Sunday evening, and it'll run through until the 16th, which is Family Day.
Once again, that was Sandy Griffiths with Downtown Kingston speaking about Spirit of Winter, the winter festival lighting up downtown from February 1st through to February 16th. More details, schedules, and booking information are available at downtownkingston.ca/spiritofwinter. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. Next is Dinah Jansen with a story from the Local Journalism Initiative reporter for the Brockville Recorder and Times, Keith Dempsey, and it covers the inaugural TLTI Culture, Leisure, Recreation, and Sport Expo.
Thank you, Jesse. Residents of the Township of Leeds and the Thousand Islands will soon have an opportunity to explore everything their community has to offer, from arts and culture to sport, leisure, and recreation. The Township is hosting its first ever Culture, Leisure, Recreation, and Sport Expo in February at the Sealy's Bay Community Hall, bringing together a wide range of local organizations, clubs, and service providers under one roof. Organizers say the event is designed to help residents discover programs, activities, and opportunities that already exist throughout the township, but may not always be easy to find. The expo will run over 2 days, beginning February 20th from 3 to 7 p.m. and continuing through February 21st from 9 a.m. till noon. Members of the public are invited to drop in during either time slot to meet representatives, ask questions, and learn more about what is available in their community. According to organizers, the event aims to strengthen connections between residents and the many businesses, volunteer groups, and organizations that support active, healthy, and engaged lifestyles across the township. From recreation and sport to cultural and leisure pursuits, the expo is intended to showcase the depth and diversity of local offerings in one accessible location. The township hopes the expo will encourage greater participation in community programs while also highlighting the work of organizations that contribute to the area's quality of life. People seeking more information about the Culture, Leisure, Recreation, and Sport Expo are encouraged to contact the Township of Leeds and Thousand Islands directly by phone or through its website. Thank you to Keith Dempsey for that story. Now over to Jesse Bell with a story from the LGI reporter for YGK News, Owen Fullerton, about an exciting new addition to Kingston Health Sciences Centers.
Thank you, Dinah. KHSC will be the new home of samples collected from decades of cancer clinical trials as the Tumor Tissue Data Repository, or TDDR, and Queen's Laboratory for Molecular Pathology, QLMP, move under one roof in a new facility. The facility was built to accommodate the growing space and infrastructure needs of the program, as well as to allow for more simplified collaboration between researchers. The TTDR houses tissue specimens collected through clinical trials conducted by the Canadian Cancer Trials Group, CCTG, spanning back to 1997, while the QLMP can be contracted to conduct studies on those specimens, often seeing the two labs working hand in hand. The samples are maintained and studied to better understand how cancers evolve and respond to treatment. While previously one area used by researchers was within KHSC, with the rest being in Queen's facilities, they now move into a more collaborative role with the TTDR. Dr. Lois Shepherd, operational director of the TTDR and professor at Queen's University, says bringing all the research under one roof at KHSC will not only increase efficiency, but allow for collaborative relationships to build with researchers at the hospital network. The new facility will also see access to new equipment, allowing TTDR and QLMP to further build on past research. Dr. Shepherd says, well, things were manageable out of multiple locations. Being consolidated is a welcome change, and in the month that they've been moved into the new facility, she is seeing how it can bring more efficiency. As for the old spaces that house the TTDR, Dr. Shepherd said she's unsure what will happen with them, but there's no shortage of candidates looking for space. Since 1997, the TTDR has collected and stewarded samples from over 120 clinical trials.
And thank you to Owen Fullerton for that story. Now over to the LGI reporter for CJAI-FM Amherst Island Radio, Ted Evans, with a story about physician recruitment in Loyalist Township.
Hi, I'm Ted Evans, local journalism initiative reporter and news director at CJAI, Amherst Island Radio, 101.3 FM in Stella, Ontario. Coming up are some of the top news stories from Loyalist Township. You can hear Amherst Island Radio's news program, North Shore News, on 101.3 Amherst Island Radio or online at cjai.ca. For showtimes throughout the week, check the schedule on our website at cjai.ca.
Loyalist Township Council approved another $20,000 in funding for their Family Physician Recruitment Incentive Program as they welcome more new doctors to the area. According to staff, discussions are underway with three new family physicians interested in setting up their practices in Loyalist under the incentive program. The township would see two new doctors in Bath and one in Amherstview. The township's operating budget in 2026 approved an additional $40,000 on the basis that two new physicians could be expected to join the program. But as interest exceeded staff expectations, the extra $20,000 was needed. The program began in 2023 with an incentive of $100,000 paid over 5 years in return for 5 years of practice in Loyalist with a roster of at least 1,200 patients. Since then, four physicians have joined the Loyalist Family Health Team in Amherstview under the program. The latest of the four to join, Dr. Jamil, was recently approved by the province to join the Loyalist Family Health Team and will be taking over provision of services to Dr. Goldstein's patients. Staff's report noted the payment is due once physicians obtain the roster of 1,200 patients. This is expected to happen quickly, but could still take until later this year to be confirmed. Mayor Jim Hagedorn spoke about the importance of new physicians in the area.
I've had very positive feedback. It's great to see the residents really happy that they finally have a doctor and there's opportunities there for them.
Deputy Mayor Nathan Townend noted the work of staff and the township's CAO.
I know she's worked very hard on this. This has been a priority of council from the beginning of our term, and it's so nice to see it continue to go from success to success.
CAO Rebecca Murphy noted how the program has benefited the area.
One of the doctors that's in Bath now was going to go to Kingston, but Kingston, their money had run out, and so they didn't have the incentive available this year, and so they came to us, and that's really great. But the even better news is that he feels that they're looking at expanding and doing renovations in Amherst and in Bath to add more and more physicians. And I've begun talks with Kingston and neighboring municipalities for them to pay the incentive. So if a doctor does set up here but doesn't fully roster loyalist residents and sort of shares in that we can benefit as a region too through this model.
Murphy also spoke about a company looking to bring doctors to the area under their own model, partnered with the township's incentive program.
This is an interesting model where a company is interested in essentially helping pharmacies with their business by setting up clinics within a pharmacy, and then they work on recruiting physicians here. The model is where the pharmacist manages the head lease, and then the physician and the clinic only pay overhead to this company to sort of manage the clinics. The company doing this is Verismo Health, and they have 33 clinics throughout Ontario and ran out of spaces for these kind of functions in the GTA and looked to Loyalist Township because of our incentive.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans.
Thank you to Ted Evans for that story. Over to the Local Journalism Initiative reporter for CJPE, Brenda Little, with a story about attempts to raise awareness about scams in Prince Edward County.
Scams and fraud are still on the rise, with the methods becoming more complicated by the day. Constable LaBelle is a community safety officer with the Ontario Provincial Police who works out of the Prince Edward County Detachment. He wanted to increase awareness of scams and fraud, but more importantly, wanted to talk to people in person for a stronger impact. And what better place to do it? At their bank. Constable LaBelle is the officer in the branch offering information about scams and fraud, and it opens up the opportunity for people to talk about their experiences. 35% of the population in the county is people over the age of 65, and many are elderly and vulnerable. They do their banking in person, and they don't necessarily have computers. In many cases, a visit to the bank could be the highlight of their day or week. The Officer on the Branch program gives customers the opportunity to find out more about scams. I caught up with Constable LaBelle at the CIBC branch in Picton, where we chatted about the program. Constable, can you tell me about this program?
Yeah, so the program that I'm doing right now is called the Officer in the Branch. I approached a bunch of branch managers here in Picton, and so I could spread awareness about frauds and the common tips that we give out to our victims and how to protect themselves straight to the people that attend the banks in person. Spreading, I think, awareness right where the frauds happen and where people are doing their banking, I think, is a good way to outreach and kind of reach our clients.
And you have quite a bit of material here for people to take home and take a look at. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, we have here the little black book of scams, which is common scams that we see out on the road and how people kind of get scammed. And then we have just a bunch of pamphlets here and our lovely pencils. And just
bags.
Just bags.
Yeah.
Really, kids stuff for the kids. There's for kids that come here, and yeah, I think it's just mostly an opportunity for people that when they come and do their banking in person to speak to an officer instead of just over the phone. I think that physical kind of in-person approach might resonate just a little bit better than just a poster or an online kind of campaign.
Personal.
Yeah.
Personal. What would you say is the most common problem right now with scamming and fraud?
Like the most common scam that we see,
mm-hmm.
or?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's one most common one. However, I think the one that affects the most is the romance scam. the scammers are going to try and prey on the emotion of the victim and try and convince them that they need to give them funds right away. So they prey on the emotion, and they'll try and make the victims, convince them to make a rapid decision without giving them a lot of time to kind of think and kind of reflect on what they're doing.
That impacts the person so many on different levels. I mean, it's not just the money. You know, they get pulled in on the romance part. They're obviously lonely, so somehow it's, you know, making them vulnerable to that. They're huge, huge.
And it affects not only their financials, like you said, but it also affects their safety at home. What happens after they were scammed? They gave out a certain amount of information, probably like their address, where they live, their phone number. So kind of leaves those people kind of very vulnerable. And what happens after this scam? Like, now I'm alone. Now they know where I live. They know who I am, my address, my phone, they know everything. So there's a lot more than just a financial aspect to it.
That's far different than the grandmother scam.
Where they kind of pretend to be someone else. Yeah. That's why here, I didn't think about mentioning it here, but you probably know Sergeant Guscott here. He's a huge aspect of the neighborhood protect program here in the county. Let's just say our door-to-door scam, where people come up and say, hey, your eavesdrops are off, or I'm hydro and I need to go inside your house to inspect the furnace. That's an example. Well, if someone says no, well, that was kind of sketchy. It's kind of weird that someone would do that. Well, he can make a post on that neighborhood protect, and that would kind of alert everyone that's subscribed in that neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think spreading awareness and spreading the information about the frauds, having a discussion with your peers, your family, your neighbor, your neighborhood, your employees, your bosses, and just spreading the information about the most common frauds that you guys see. I think just having a conversation about the frauds, and what kind of frauds you've seen, just helps to spread awareness and kind of prevent frauds from happening.
Constable LaBelle is the officer in the branch the last Wednesday in February at BMO and Bank of Nova Scotia in March, all in Picton. For the Local Journalism Initiative, frequencynews.ca and CJPE, County FM, I'm Brenda Little.
Thank you to Brenda Little for that story. Over to the Local Journalism Initiative reporter for CFWN, Dan Jones, with a story about the Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center in Northumberland County.
Hi, I'm Dan Jones with CFWN in Cobourg, Ontario. A new partnership in Trent Hills will see direct referrals to Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center for people experiencing gender-based and intimate partner violence. Cornerstone and the Trent Hills Family Health Team's collaboration is meant to increase accessibility and better respond to violence in the community. Christina Colachico, Manager of Community Services at Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center, says gender-based and intimate partner violence is prevalent in Northumberland County.
We're really excited to share this new partnership between Cornerstone and Trent Hills Family Health Team. This partnership started through some discussions with the Trent Hills Family Health Team, their staff and leadership, just really about, you know, how to increase access for women living in that area to receive our services. And so it's just through that shared commitment to partnerships that we had this idea to do that. So initially it started, you know, about us utilizing space there to see clients, and then it really turned into us creating opportunities for their health professionals and allied health professionals to make direct referrals to us to help, you know, increase access to services and reduce barriers for clients who need Cornerstone services.
So is it safe to say that there may have been a lack of services in the Trent Hills area?
No, we've been providing services in the Campbellford area for many years. So and throughout all of Northumberland County. We have other satellite sites, you know, in Port Hope and Colburn and Brighton. So this is just really, you know, an enhanced partnership so that the staff at Trent Hills Family Health Team can make those direct referrals. You know, we often see that sometimes women who are involved with a healthcare provider, they may share with that healthcare provider what's happening in their lives, in the relationship. And so sometimes it's a relationship where they can speak freely and confidentially, you know, about what's happening. So it's an opportunity for us to leverage that trusted relationship with that medical provider or with that allied health professional to help make that referral.
Okay, so just can you just walk us through what happens in terms of a person goes to the Trent Valley Health Team and they have this discussion and they may possibly get a referral. What are the next steps in this client getting some services?
So what would happen is the staff member at the Trent Hills Family Health Team would send over a referral to us just with some really basic information, and then one of our staff would contact the client to complete an intake and then help them schedule services. And we look at, you know, all the different services that we offer to help them get connected that way, as well as if they're in need of other services, we help make links to other services in the community.
In Northumberland County, what is Cornerstone seeing as a prevalence of gender-based and intimate partner violence in the community?
You know, unfortunately, we continue to see an increased need for our services. So if we think about last year, we provided services and support to over 3,000 women, children, and youth. And, you know, I think we're seeing, you know, a need across the province and also across Northumberland County. So, you know, having the ability to see clients in their home communities through those satellite sites, through a partnership with, you know, like we're talking about with Trent Hills, is really great. We want to increase that accessibility, reduce barriers, but we're seeing a need for services like ours across the province.
So, Christina, if a person is not a client in the Trent Hills area but want to access services of Cornerstone, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, great question. So if you're a patient of the Trent Hills Family Health Team and you need support, you can either speak with your provider, you know, your medical provider at the Trent Hills Family Health Team or a member of the mental health team. Or you can contact Cornerstone directly. So you can contact us at our 24-hour support line, which is available at 905-372-0746. You can call our business line, which is 905-372-1545. Or more information about our services is available on our website at cornerstonenorthumberland.ca.
Reporting for CFWN and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Dan Jones.
And thank you to Dan Jones for that story. Next up on The Corridor, supported by local realtor Kim Purcell at kimpurcell.ca, is Jesse Bell with CFRC's Environment Canada weather forecast for the Kingston region.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the week. Thursday, February 5th, daytime high of -8 with 2 to 4 centimeters of snow in the forecast, feeling closer to -11. Friday, February 6th, daytime high of -3 with a crippling overnight low of -21. A little bit of snow in the forecast as well. We've got a very chilly weekend in store. Saturday, February 7th, daytime high of -17, but feeling closer to -32 degrees. Take care of each other. That is a frigid, killer cold evening. Sunday, February 8th, daytime high of -15, feeling closer to -26. And we get a slight warm-up Monday, February 9th, daytime high of -11, feeling closer to -10.
And that's a wrap for this week's edition of The Corridor, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative and the Community Radio Fund of Canada. Don't forget to visit CFRC.ca for the latest in local and regional news headlines, concert and events listings, and more. You can also follow CFRC on Facebook and Instagram at CFRC Music and on Twitter X at CFRC. You can support CFRC and its independent news programming by donating via CFRC.ca. We'll be back next week with more in local and regional news. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, situated on the traditional territories of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of Smith Engineering.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.